This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Tomorrow night, the PBS series Great Performances features a tribute to two stars of the Yiddish theater, Boris and Bessie Tomaszewski. It was written and stars their grandson, conductor Michael Tilson Thomas, the music director of the San Francisco Symphony. The tribute features music, readings, archival film clips and photos, and Michael Tilson Thomas's personal memories of his grandmother. In the show, Thomas conducts the New World Symphony, which he founded. The Tomaszewskis were pioneers of the Yiddish theater. Boris was a producer. He built theaters, and he and Bessie starred in productions of new plays and musicals, as well as classic plays translated into Yiddish. Boris did the first Yiddish production of Hamlet. When he died in 1933, 30,000 people gathered on the Lower East Side of Manhattan for his funeral. Boris and Bessie each immigrated to America from the Ukraine in the 1880s. Before we talk with Michael Tilson Thomas, let's hear an archival recording of Boris Tomaszewski singing a song he did in the film Bar Mitzvah. So that's Boris Tomaszewski, the star of the Yiddish stage, who was the late grandfather of my guest, conductor Michael Tilson Thomas. Michael Tilson Thomas, welcome back to Fresh Air.
Thank you. Pleasure.
So your grandfather sang in synagogues in the Ukraine and on the Lower East Side of Manhattan before singing on the stage. Do you think he was influenced as a singer by the cantorial tradition?
Very much so, because in Boris's family, all my great-great-grandfathers had been mostly chazans, cantors, except the ones who had become instead badchens, that's to say, kind of village entertainers, people who would get up on a chair at a wedding and sing a song which was completely appropriate to the occasion, which was expected on that occasion, and yet it would have improvised lyrics, little outtakes that made it completely individual to that night. So there was that sacred and profane division always in the family. And Boris's father, who already had a kind of wandering spirit, as it was called, nonetheless sent Boris to the best cantorial school in Russia, in Berdichev, where he became a star.
The role of the Yiddish theater was very important for Jewish immigrants to the United States, many of whom spoke only Yiddish, and so they couldn't read the regular newspapers. A lot of the English language theater would not have literal meaning to them because they wouldn't understand the language. So the Yiddish stage, I mean, that was a really important, particularly in New York, a really important place for gathering and for doing anything cultural.
Well, absolutely. Of course, there were very many Yiddish newspapers in New York and Philadelphia and Chicago and all these major cities at that time. But for the audience to go to the theater to experience a show, especially a show which was very often, in my grandfather's case, a kind of spectacle, gave them a sense of the importance, the sheer scale of what was achievable by an immigrant in the United States. It inspired them. Old ladies used to have come up to me on the street and said, we were kids, we had nothing, but once a week or once a month we went to the theater and we saw the red velvet curtains with the name Tomaszewski in large gold letters. And we thought, if that's possible for him to do, then it's possible for us to do.
The name Tomaszewski is such a famous name in the world of theater and in the world of Yiddish theater. I grew up knowing that name. I knew that Tomaszewskis were famous performers on the Yiddish stage, but that's about all I knew. Your last name is Thomas, which is an abbreviated version of Tomaszewski. How did Tomaszewski become Thomas?
It really started with my father, who was trying to make his own way in life in the theater. And he simply was unable to do that. Everywhere that he went, he would mention his last name, and right away was, oh, you're Boris Tabashevsky's son, and therefore he didn't want that. He just wanted to be able to find his own way in life and in the theater. So he was the one who changed his name initially to Ted Thomas. And quite frankly, he also wanted to escape from that whole crazed celebrity situation which my grandparents inspired. And I think he also wanted to protect me from that, because there were crazed fans, the only way of describing. There were stalker kinds of people who were pursuing my grandparents and their children, and with the same kind of ardor that we're accustomed to thinking of crazy paparazzi or fans pursuing stars today.
Were you aware of that when you were growing up? Your grandfather was dead, but your grandmother lived until you were 16 or 17, and she lived nearby, and I think you were pretty close to her. Did you get a sense of people stalking her? Or was it like way too late for that because she was already in her 70s?
Well, she had also moved out to L.A., and one of the reasons for doing that, outside of getting some character parts in movies she hoped for, was that she wanted to get away from the whole scene in New York, a town, as she said, with too many ghosts. But when I really became aware of the shadow of Boris for the first time was when I went back east when I was perhaps 11 or 12, and I was going to a lot of shows, stage manager cousins of mine, because so many members of the family were still in the business, in show business, not necessarily as actors on stage, but in everything having to do with the behind-the-scenes life. And we used to go to just one scene of every play. So theater people, they say, oh, kid, the good scene to see, the Luntz Act Two finale is good. Eddie Foy's joke in the second scene of the first act is good. So that kind of stuff. But there was this one show, My Fair Lady, and everybody was talking about it, and I thought I'd like to see it. My mother said, don't ask Cousin Georgie to get you into that show. It's the hardest ticket to get, and just don't be a monster. So, of course, when I saw him, I immediately said, could we see My Fair Lady? We went to the theater. People were lined up around the block to hopefully get some returns, and he went over to the stage door, knocked, and said, hey, is Izzy around? And Izzy, company manager, came out, and my cousin indicated me and said, hey, Izzy, see this kid? Boris Tomaszewski's grandson. 2 minutes later, we were in row 5, right in the center of that theater.
Although your grandfather died before you were born, you got to know your grandmother, Bessie Tomaszewski, pretty well. And tell us about the kind of parts that she played in the Yiddish theater.
Bessie started out as a young girl. She was about 5 when she arrived into the United States from the Ukraine, and she met Boris, kind of eloped with him when she was a young teenager and 14, 15 years old. And she began finding her way in the theater, first playing kind of innocent young girl roles. But as time went on, she also discovered her enormous abilities as a comedian. And she very often played trouser parts or parts involving women being disguised as men for particular political or educational, social purposes, a little bit like what the story of Yentl is, right? So mm-hmm. Bessie did a lot of plays like that, where a woman disguises herself as a man in order to gain the advantages of education or whatever that a man can have.
What did she tell you about women's rights and the disparities facing women when she was young?
Well, she went from being a little girl in a village that was asked to bring in the goats and do other domestic chores to working in a tobacco factory in Baltimore, and then suddenly finding herself on stage as a star pretty quickly. But she went beyond that. She wanted to know everything about the structure of the theater, and she became a very effective producer and manager and someone who paid far more attention to the whole business and organization aspect of the theater than my grandfather did, who was the kind of big dreamer and partier. And that was so unusual for a woman of those days. I have some correspondence of hers where she's writing to some people who put into an ad in some big paper that she was going to be a part of some season they were doing, and she writes to them saying that she absolutely has not agreed to do this, and these are the conditions which they must immediately fulfill in order for this to happen. It's really very, very tough and straight talk, and there's a lot of stuff about her I didn't have room for in the show. Remarkable things like when she was arrested by Theodore Roosevelt. This happened in this way. In New York, there were blue laws at the time, meaning that performances were forbidden on Sunday. But of course, in the Yiddish theater, Sunday was a very big day because Saturday was the Sabbath. So they played on Sunday. And at one point, when T.R. was police commissioner of New York, he and some of his men raided one of the Tomaszewski's theaters. And he came in and he saw Bessie, who was very young and who looked much younger than she was always. And he said, "Look out, little girl." And she said, "Little girl, my ass, I'm the star here. If anybody's being taken in, it's me."
That's so funny. So she got arrested.
She did. That's exactly the way she told me the story.
Like she insisted on getting arrested.
Yeah, she was going to be in the center of it. And I mean, women's rights, feminism was a very big part of the Yiddish theater, but along with a lot of other social issues. I mean, the Yiddish theater plays, even the so-called Schund sort of low everyday plays, were about issues like women's rights, like about labor, capital and labor, child labor, about degrees of religious observance, about the whole issue of assimilation, about reproductive rights of women, and also a lot about the language. Are we going to speak Yiddish? Are we going to speak English? What language at home? What language in the rest of the world? And what about the much larger issue, which is how can it be that somebody who was such a big shot in the old country became a nobody in America, and some little schlemiel from nowhere in a tiny village has suddenly in the United States become such a macher, such a big shot? And what does an immigrant pool of people do to understand where now is honor, where is tradition?
So I want to play a recording by your grandmother, the late Bessie Tomaszewski, singing a song. And I'm going to have you introduce it. This is actually from a DVD outtake from your show. So tell us about this song and when you think it was recorded.
This is a little introduction to a song called Minka's Song, Minka's Monologue, one of Bessie's most famous parts, in which she's playing a girl from a little village who's come to the United States and is on the eve of a huge adventure, a Pygmalion-like experiment in which she will be elevated from her lowly parlor maid status to being the lady of the house.
Okay. So this is Bessie Tomaszewski, recorded approximately when?
1920-something.
Wow. Okay, here we go.
Lachmane, ihr geht nach Hause nur mit meine Zicken. Ei, zick, zick, spitzig und schwach sie mit dem Schmitzig. Ob die Klesmer, die war die Schreise spielen, seit sie schlucken sei. Rass des drin ist all auf zwei. Die mir sind, komm ich euch gegeben. Mama sind, komm ich euch gegeben.
So that was the late Bessie Tomaszewski singing in Yiddish, and she and Boris Tomaszewski are the late grandparents of my guest, conductor Michael Tilson Thomas. And he has a show about them, which is about to be shown on public television on March 29th. And the show is called The Tomaszewskis, Music and Memories of a Life in the Yiddish Theater. So what kind of music did your grandmother introduce you to?
I was lucky enough to hear her deliver a lot of her biggest numbers right there in our living room, since she would arrive every weekend to our house and we would put on a little show together in which I would accompany her in some of her songs and she would do recitations and we did little scenes together. So although it was my parents' fondest hope that I would become some kind of scientist or mathematician, I realized that she was already getting me into the whole theater experience right there at home.
That's really interesting. You know, one of the things she says, one of the things you describe her having said to you when you were young is, you're more like me than your parents are. They're more conventional. And you have more of what you say, like a creative spirit or something.
Yeah, she said, your parents are very lovely people, but terribly conventional. You're like me. You're an adventurer. You'll have to prove something.
Did you take that to heart?
I paid attention to it. I didn't know quite what it meant. And as I listened to her tell all these stories of her life from her childhood through her stardom and then even her reflections on the way fashions changed and the way she was in her late life a quite lonely person, I took it all in. And what I kind of understood from her was that it had been a very interesting ride, that she really was proud of what had been accomplished. And when she saw somebody, a very successful entertainer coming up, and she could see in them something that had come from the kind of things that they had done in the theater, she was very proud of it. She recognized them and appreciated them.
Now, you actually sing a song in your show about your grandparents, and I was surprised. I didn't
you
know you
both.
Sang. It's very enjoyable, and it's a song about how famous they were. Why don't you describe the song, and then we'll hear you singing it.
My grandparents, especially my grandfather, was a real character, a man about town. That's what Boris was. And he was hobnobbing with great people in the theater, like the Cohans, and people in society like Diamond Jim Brady, and Fyodor Shalyapin, the great opera singer, was a big pal of his. And these guys were going out of the town. They were doing all the restaurants and all the after-hour spots, and they all had diamond garters and fancy duds, lots of top hats and tortoiseshell canes. And Tomaszewski particularly developed this image for the Yiddish public of his being this grand impresario, rich, bon vivant. And his friends, Jack Norworth and Nora Bays, the composers of Shine On, Harvest Moon, wrote this comedic song in tribute to him.
And this is Michael Tilson Thomas performing in an excerpt from his new PBS special, The Tomaszewski's Music and Memories of a Life in the Yiddish Theater.
A 1, 2, 3, 4. When Caruso's on the stage, he thinks he is mighty fine. And in Matt, he thinks he is the rage. Mavis old, but not for mine. You know that Georgie Cohan makes me sick with his Yankee, Panky, Spanky, little girl, sick. Now my sister, met an actor, a real-life Yiddish actor. She saw him act and said, oi, I'm for you. Well, who do you suppose went and married my sister? Don't you know? Hear the guest, Tomaszewski.
So being exposed to so much Yiddish song and pop and theater music, how did you end up in classical music?
It was my family's greatest fear that I would go into show business. But, of course, in the Yiddish theater, when some music was desired, they would nod to the conductor and say, Professor, nu spiel a bissel, Professor, play something. I sometimes think that because the maestro was always called professor, that in their minds that was more respectable in some kind of way. So I was allowed to pursue that. And then my life just made the turn it did. And once they saw it was really happening for me, they were very happy about it. And I think that the involvement, though, I've had in Yiddish music, which really begins with village music, and that's a kind of theme that our show follows, that the first music my grandparents performed absolutely sounds like klezmer music, and then it sort of turns into klezmer mixed with operetta, and then in the United States, especially in Bessie's repertoire, it becomes very, very much more Americanized until finally it's kind of indistinguishable from the early numbers of Irving Berlin and George Gershwin, which sound very much like numbers that could be in the Yiddish theater.
So when your grandmother died and you were, I don't know, 16 or 17, was there music at her funeral?
There wasn't much music at my grandmother's funeral. There were a few prayers and there were very few people there. And her plaque just says, Bessie Tomaszewski, Yiddish theater pioneer star, which is exactly what she wanted it to say. But of course, there's a whole repertory of songs that we played at home all the time whenever we thought about her and that I still play. It was a very big moment, a big rite of passage in my life. The first day that I took over playing her songs instead of my father playing them and measuring the way I was playing them against the wonderful nuances that he and my grandmother had brought to the music. I was lucky to hear my family play that music for me. I wanted to keep in my ears exactly the way they had sung the songs and played them with all the irony and mordancy and snappy little gestures and comebacks.
So you mentioned some advice in your show that your grandmother gave you about when you're on stage, you have to remember that the people in the uppermost balcony are the people who paid the least but are enjoying it the most. And you have to, even if you're whispering, you have to make sure that those people can hear you. How has that affected you as a conductor?
My way of expressing what she said to me is, what is it like for people beyond the sixth row? That we play in such big halls sometimes in classical music, and they're halls designed to be very rich, which is on the one hand very nice, the gorgeous sound that's there, but to get the sound to be distinct is difficult. And I sometimes tell my students that playing classical music is like making an announcement in an airport, that you hear someone say, passengers on flight 391, they're immediately, please. So you're trying to make every single moment completely distinct. Another way Bessie had of saying that, she said, listen, when you're doing an accent, you got to watch out for the ninth void. That's the ninth void that's dangerous, because you're saying, I was going to the park one day and I noticed the most beautiful, suddenly, you know, around that, you'll suddenly drop the accent. You'll drop it. You got to keep the contour of it all the way going through. Same thing in music.
That's really great. We're going to close with the overture from Hansa in America, which is one of the shows that your grandmother was in, right?
Hansa was a show about a young girl who disguises herself as a man so she can go to driving school and become the chauffeur of a big, classy New York family.
Great. And your grandmother, no doubt, was that girl.
She was that girl, and she started as a chauffeur in the play, and she wound up at the end being a big-time suffragette.
So this is my guest, Michael Tilson Thomas, conducting the New World Symphony, which he founded. And this is an excerpt of his tribute to his grandparents, Boris and Bessie Tomaszewski, which will be shown on public television on March 29th. Michael Tilson Thomas, thank you. It's been great.
As always, thank you.
Michael Tilson Thomas's tribute to his grandparents, the Tomaszewskis, Music and Memories of a Life in the Yiddish Theater, will be shown tomorrow night on the PBS series Great Performances. DVDs will be available April 24th. Michael Tilson Thomas is the music director of the San Francisco Symphony and the founder of the New World Symphony, which he conducts in the tribute. You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org. And you can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NPR Fresh Air. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Sam Brigger, Henry Baldonado, Lauren Krenzel, John Myers, John Sheehan, Heidi Simon, and Teresa Madden. I'm Terry Gross.